Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Along with the Beatles crossing Abbey Road, it is the early photographs of our next guest that have become the instant visual shorthand for 1960s London, the swinging 60s, and a chance haircut made this woman a world-famous supermodel for decades. And now comes along a documentary film, an extraordinary film, and it's about the life of this woman. And it's directed by Sadie Frost, no less. The contributors include Dustin Hoffman and Joanna Lumley. The film is getting an outing at the Dublin International Film Festival itself on Monday. Good morning. Who could this be? Only Twiggy. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you? Are you well?
I'm very well, touch wood. Yes, I'm very well. Busy at the moment because, as you've just said, the film's coming out.
Yes.
So I'm very excited coming to Dublin. We're thrilled we've got into the Dublin Film Festival, so that's lovely.
Oh, good. And you look really well and happy in this film, which is about your life. Have you seen it yet in full?
Oh, yes, yes.
You have.
Yeah, we contributed to it, you know, fully. It's
You're
been
in
like
it.
2.5 years. I'm in it, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll probably, there's so much of me in it that if you don't like me, don't go.
Are you an introspective person, Twiggy, by the way? Do you often look back on your life over the years?
Not really. I mean, you know, I tend in life to, you know, be going forward doing the things I'm doing now. So it's been quite a journey to go on. And it came about because I do a podcast called Tea with Twiggy.
Mm-hmm.
And Sadie Frost did a film on Mary Quant about 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And asked if she could come on my podcast to talk about it. And that's how my documentary came about, because I asked her if she was going to do any more. Because I love the one on Mary Quant.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, I love doing the research on the 60s, and I'd love to do somebody else that was part of that period. And then she said, oh, I should do you. So,
and she did.
We went out, and she did. So we went out for lunch. Because over the years, I have been asked to do this with other people, and either for whatever reason didn't work out, or, you know, we didn't feel it was the right time. But I got on very well with Sadie. I love that she was a woman, and that, you know, she's, you know, had a similar life to me. You know, she's modeled, she's been an actress, she's been very much in the public eye like I have for many years. And it just seemed like the right fit. And it's been, as I say, it's taken about 2.5 years, because there was endless footage from that 60s period that she had to go through and pick what she was. And actually, she found clips that I'd never seen.
I was wondering, had you seen? Yeah. What is that like, looking back at a teenage you becoming world famous?
I know, it's funny, because I remember it clearly, obviously, because it was, you know, up until that moment in 1966, I'd been a schoolgirl, a very ordinary, mm-hmm. very shy, you know, suburban schoolgirl. So suddenly, within a month and a half, I was flying to Paris, flying to New York. I mean, it was madness, really. So watching it, it's lovely memories, because most of the memories were lovely. And but it is very nostalgic. And seeing my mum and dad, who are no longer with us, you know, that's obviously quite nostalgic. And various things that have happened in my life. Because, you know, every life has ups and downs and happy times and sad times. So, you know, it's all in there.
It is.
But I think Sadie's done a very good job of putting it together and telling the story.
Take us back to the early days for you, Twiggy, because there's obviously a haircut that changes your life. It changes fashion, indeed.
It did. Yeah, well, as I said, I was a schoolgirl. Somebody sent me to see a magazine, a woman on a magazine, and because she thought I had a kind of, you know, a look. Because I went to a grammar school, so we weren't allowed to wear makeup. But at weekends, like all teenage girls, I played with makeup, and I created that, you know, those eyelashes and the ones underneath, and that's what I used to do at weekends. And somebody saw me, and she had a friend on a magazine, and she sent me along, and she said, "Well, you're too small to be a model, but maybe you can do headshots." Because in those days, and I'm 5'6", in those days, if you were You had to be over 5'8" to go to a model agency and be taken on. So, yeah. And I was tiny. I mean, you can see in the pictures, I was this tiny little thing. And so I went to see this woman and she said, go and have your hair done because it's a mess. And that was the kind of key thing, because she sent me to a very upmarket hairdresser's in Mayfair in London called Leonard of Mayfair. And Leonard saw me and came over and said, can I cut your hair? And I didn't want my hair cut, actually, but I was too shy to say no. So he cut my, it took about 7 hours. They cut it and coloured it and cut it and coloured it. And then he sent me off to a lovely photographer called Barry Latigan, who took that picture that you talked about with, you know, with the Fair Isle sweater. That was the first photograph I had taken. It's probably the most well-known photo of me, probably. Right. And I went back to school and Leonard hung the picture of the haircut in his salon.
Yeah.
And one of his clients was a big journalist in England for the Daily Express called Deirdre McSharry. And she came in to have her hair done and said, oh, I love the haircut. Who's the girl? And he said, oh, she's a schoolgirl. And she said, I want to meet her. I got a phone call at my mum's house in Needham saying, will you come in for an interview? I mean, I was so green, I didn't even know what an interview was. You know, I was a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
And so I got on the bus and went up to Fleet Street and met this lovely lady called Deirdre. She talked to me. And 3 weeks later, she published a whole page saying, Twiggy, the face of 66. And I got the name Twiggy because my legs were so skinny.
There you go. And does everybody call you Twiggy even to this day?
They do. They do. I think it, you know, it's stuck for life, really. But I've become quite fond of it. It's been quite good to me, so.
But it's Leslie at home, I presume, here and there.
Well, my husband calls me Twig, so most of my friends call me Twig.
Twig has to be shortened again.
Yeah, it's got shortened again.
And I'm sure in certain environments you insist on Dame Twiggy for British citizens.
Oh. I know, that was amazing. It was a great honour.
Well, I'm glad after seven...
I don't make people call me Dame and I don't make them curtsy or anything.
No,
it was a lovely day. It was a thrill.
I was just thinking, Deirdre McSharry, we'd say over here, I think she might be an Irish woman and she's in the documentary as well.
Yeah, she is. I actually, we didn't use it in the film because, you know, you get so much footage, you can't use everything. But I actually, when they interviewed her, I hadn't seen Deirdre since, you know, those days in the 60s. And
really?
I went up with the film crew and when they filmed her and then I came out as a surprise. And we sat, it was so lovely. I hadn't seen her in all those years. She's amazing.
The Irish woman who discovered, and she becomes editor of Cosmopolitan later. So she had a great career.
She did, yeah. She had an amazing career and she's a wonderful lady.
I was reading an interview that you did with The Guardian when you turned 60 and they ask you, you know, was it strange that the defining era of your life happened to you when you were 16? I suppose a better question is, do you think that was the defining era of your life?
Well, it's interesting because obviously it's the thing that people... That's why I'm quite pleased with the documentary because, you know, I have done many, many other things.
You have.
In the years after the 60s. But most people, if you say my name, they will immediately think of the 60s, which is fine. But, you know, probably my proudest moment is in the 1980s, I did a big Broadway show, a musical, which was all singing and dancing. And it was a big hit show and we ran for 18 months on Broadway. And so for me, when I think about my life, I think about that as a very high point in my career and many other things. You know, I was lucky enough to be work with Sir Peter Hall, one of the great theatre directors. I did Mrs. Warren's Profession with him on tour. And I've done albums, but you know, but if you say my name, most people will think of the 60s, which is fine. It's fine.
You got a Tony nomination for that musical.
I did.
You won 2 Golden Globes in the 70s, the Tony nominations in the 80s. We saw you in Ab Fab in the 90s, the face of M&S in the noughties. And I believe you were on the cover of Portugal's Vogue only last November.
I was. A lovely photographer called Rachel Smith took that picture. It's amazing. I'm gonna keep going on. I love work. Yeah.
Because some of these retrospective films are almost like a full stop in many ways, aren't they? Because we don't get to see obviously what happens next. You might have to update the film.
Yes, that's true. Well, you can only go. I mean, we've only gone as far as when Sadie stopped filming, which was the middle of last year. So there is, if you towards the end of the documentary, you see me in the studio with a lovely singer-songwriter, Amy Wodge, who I'm working with on an album, and various other things I'm working on. So I will not stop.
She can't be stopped.
She can't be stopped.
High points. There are obviously sad moments as well. And your daughter, Carly, is in the film, and she talks about the death of her father, who was your husband, your first husband. And she was a child, and the press treatment of her was just extraordinary.
It was appalling. Well, you know, most of the press, you know, I've had a very, very nice relationship with the press over mm-hmm. all these years, and most of the press are very respectful and very nice. And I mean, you know, unless you get involved in something very scandalous, they leave you alone.
Yeah.
But obviously that was a horrible time, and certainly horrible for her, and it was horrible for me, but more for her. You know, she was 5 years old, bless her heart, when he had the massive heart attack. So, but as I said earlier, you know, every life has happy times and very, you know, sad times and very difficult times. And obviously my number one priority at that time was my daughter.
Yeah. You say in the film,
making sure she was okay.
You say in the film you became overprotective of her, you feel, looking
probably,
back.
Probably, yeah, I did. Well, she was five, you know, and mm-hmm. she'd lost her daddy. So I had to move in and make sure. Well, I was always there, obviously. Wherever I went, she went with me. And we've still got a very, very... I mean, she's a grown-up woman and happily has given me two beautiful grandchildren. And I see her all the time. You know, we're very, very close. And I thank God for that. It's wonderful.
And your husband now, you paint a real picture of romance in the film too. the pair
well,
of you.
We met in our middle years, and we'd both been through difficult relations. You know, I'd lost a husband and he'd broken up with his partner. So we met at a time when we were both single, which was quite fortunate in, you know, your middle years. That doesn't often happen. And we've been together 40 years this year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Married 37, which in our business is pretty good.
Yes. Well, you're very sweet together, because we don't often see couples, particularly if it's the second time out, being affectionate or to each other. I don't know what's strange.
No. We're touch wood. I don't want to talk too much about it. I don't want to tempt fate.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, he's, you know, and he's my best friend. And you know, he makes me laugh, and we work together. We do projects together, which is nice.
Very nice. Look, it is a charmed life. Between Paul McCartney singing Blackbird over breakfast to you and your husband, you have another Phil Spector shooting into a ceiling at a party, which again is at the other end of the spectrum.
Know.
It is a fascinating, and you are coming to Dublin, I believe, or are you?
I am. I'm so excited. I love Dublin. Yeah, because the Dublin Film Festival. Screens it on Monday night, so I will be there with Sadie, and we're going to do a Q&A after the film.
Fantastic.
And so I'm coming out on Sunday with my daughter. I'm going to bring her because she's never been to Dublin, so I said, oh, you've got to come. So
it's about time. It's about time. Well, have a fabulous time, Twiggy. Thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck. Enjoy your day. Twiggy, the documentary directed by Sadie Frost, is showing at the Dublin International Film Festival on Monday. All the information, diff.ie, diff.ie. And the film is going on general release in cinemas across the country from the 7th of March. We'll take a break.